Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That is the concluding verse of our reading for tonight, which is also the epistle reading appointed for last Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. And in that verse, one particular word sticks out, the word hope. The same word also appears earlier in verse 4. But what is hope? When a family member is diagnosed with cancer and they're given some sort of treatment, we might say, I hope the treatment will put the cancer into remission. We might look at a cloudy day and say, I hope it will not rain, or perhaps, I hope it will rain. Or perhaps you've been saying, I hope this pandemic will end soon. And usually when we say those things, we're using the word hope in a particular way. We're saying that we really would like it if this thing would come true, if this or that would happen. But we aren't certain of it. It's just a possibility, a maybe. It's not certain that it will actually happen, just by our wishing that it would happen. But what is meant here in our reading for tonight? If it were true that the hope here were uncertain, the passage would be translated something like this: May the God of an uncertain future fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in a hope-filled but uncertain future. That would be very disturbing. That would not be something to believe in. That would not be something that gave you joy and peace in believing. It would give you uncertainty and fear. So what kind of hope is being spoken of here? If we were to interpret it as I just quoted, it would be like an advertisement for a drug that is supposed to work wonders. But then there's a whole lot of fine print that says that the results may vary. And it's not guaranteed. You shouldn't sue the drug company if it doesn't work out exactly as they said. But the God of hope is not the God of an uncertain future, of a maybe, of a perhaps, of a this might work for you. He is not a God who gives something that works for some and not for others. The triune God is a God of certain and sure hope. And this can be understood as we look at the word here translated in English, hope. In classical Greek, this word can have the sense of uncertainty about what's going to happen in the future. But this same word was used to translate a Hebrew word that means to trust. So in the New Testament, the word can also mean, and should be understood to mean here, to expect good and to patiently wait and trust God for it. It is not an uncertainty, but it is a hope that says, I can be certain and sure, I can expect that God will indeed do this. It's helpful, actually, in the hymn that we just sang, where in the fourth verse, it says, our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Jesus is a hope that's not uncertain, but it is actually an expectation. We expect that he will come, and he will, because he keeps his promises. It is certain. It is something you can trust, something you can believe in. It is not a maybe. It is something that is sure. The God of hope that we have here in our text is a God who gives sure and certain promises. What he says comes true. This God has told us what will happen in the future. He has told us that Jesus will come again and that he will finally eliminate sin and corruption from sin and our sinful nature and send the devil who tempts us to eternal punishment in hell, never to bother us again. He promises to make a new heavens and a new earth. In believing what he says here, we aren't putting our confidence in a maybe or a possibility. God isn't going to fail here. He will do these things. And so our hope is in a God of certain and sure hope who does give what he promises. And how do we know that he will give what he promises? We look to the cross to see he does fulfill his promises. He promised over and over again in the Old Testament through his prophets that the Christ, the Anointed One, would indeed come. Even in our reading for tonight, we have a perfect example of this. When we read one of those prophecies from Isaiah chapter 11, there in Romans 15, 12, it quotes Isaiah 11 when we read these words, written long before Jesus, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." God promised this through the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus. He said this was going to happen. You can hope in it. You can trust in it. You can expect that it will happen. And it happened. Jesus came to live and to suffer and die on the cross, not just as the King of the Jews, but also to rule over the Gentiles, over us. And in him will the Gentiles hope, it was promised. In him, Gentiles, non-Jews, who had not been given these promises for generations and generations before, Gentiles would come to faith and put their hope and trust and expectation in this one, Jesus Christ, who had died for their sins. And did that come true? Well, we here gathered tonight are evidence of that hope. We place our hope and our confidence in this Jesus Christ, not because we're so good, not because we're so smart, but because he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has brought us to faith. And we Gentiles, who are not many of us, most of us probably not, descended from Israel and from the Jews, we heard and believed by the power of the Holy Spirit the promises of God. And so this promise of God from the Old Testament came true in Jesus. God fulfilled his promises that in him, in this one who was to come, the Gentiles would hope, that he would rule over the Gentiles. And indeed he is tonight, today, by his word, ruling over us because we are part of his kingdom. We are his people with the Jews, with who believe in him, and with all people who confess his name throughout time and throughout space. God kept his promises. Those who heard those promises from Isaiah could believe them. They had hope, real hope, from God that is certain. And the same God who made those promises hundreds of years before Jesus came makes promises to you tonight that he will come again. This God of hope says there is hope. There is certain hope in him, in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is going to come again to rescue you. There are lots of things in this world that we are trying to fill, that try to fulfill our hopes. But there's so much uncertainty still. The one whom we can be certain of, whose promises are sure, in whom we truly can hope, the God of hope, is the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who came in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person, to the cross to suffer and die in our place. They could hope in him when they heard his promises, when they were living in Old Testament times, and we who live after Christ's coming and his death and resurrection, we can put our same hope in this same God and his promises. He fulfills his promises, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead and to redeem his people and to once and for all destroy sin and disease and death. But we look back at this blessing, and there is a question that we should ask as we read it once again. When you look at this final blessing at the end of our reading in verse 13, and we do understand that hope can have the sense of confidence and eager expectation for the good, and we hear it again and know that this blessing could be understood like this: May the God of sure and certain hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may be full of eager expectation and trust that our Lord will come again to glorify our bodies, to give us life forever with Him. And that all of this will happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we hear that promise and know that it is certain, we have to ask, well, how is the Holy Spirit, by His power, going to work in me to give me all joy and peace and believing, so that I may have hope? Well, earlier in our passage, in verse 4, I said that hope is also mentioned. And we hear how the Holy Spirit works to give us this hope. It says there in verse 4, the very first verse of our reading for tonight, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." You see, God appointed a means through which He comes and works in us and creates in us the faith that trusts His promises and that believes them and fills us with hope. God moved men by the Holy Spirit to write the Scriptures so that what we have in the Bible, the prophetic and apostolic Scriptures, is not the word of man, but the word of God. And the Holy Spirit continues to work through this word to create trust in God's promises, and so also today, here and now, to fill us with hope, an eager expectation and trust in the promises of God. The promises of God are written down for us here in His Word. Not then just that we can know something of the history of what God did in the past with His people. Not just that we might know what is right and what is wrong. Not just so we can know morality. But the Word of God gives us hope for the future. It tells us of what God has done in Jesus to save us and what Jesus will do when He comes again in glory. It gives us hope for the future and also for right now, because it tells us that right now, here and now, God comes to us in Jesus and forgives us our sins as He comes in baptism and buries people and raises them, as He comes through His ministers to forgive sins in the absolution, as He comes in the supper to give His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. He tells us that He comes in all of these ways right now to forgive our sins and to wash them clean, all the sins that burden us today, here, and now. And He also tells us not only that there is hope now for us poor sinners, but also that there is hope in the future, that there will be a day when we will not struggle with sin, when we will not need to confess sin any longer, when our Lord comes again and He glorifies our bodies and we are with Him forever. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what kind of pandemics will come. We don't know what kind of disasters and earthquakes. We don't know what kinds of evils may come to us tomorrow or even in the next hour. But we do know the hope is certain and sure that our Lord will come again in glory to rescue us, all His people, to bring us to be with Himself. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.